Hey everyone, thanks for being back with us again in our four-part series. This is part two, where we are talking about recovering from 2020 and replenishing for 2021. I have my friend Jeremy Biedenbaugh, founder of Recreate Solutions, who is on giving us some incredible information for these next 4 weeks. So if you haven't listened to the first episode, which is the recovery part, make sure you listen to that because all of these add on top of each other. We're excited to have you. I really believe if you stay with us these 4 weeks, look at the show notes for extra resources and questions that you can kind of dig in more. We want this to be like a masterclass these next 4 weeks because we think it's so important as we continue to get ourselves healthy and whole for 2021. 'Cause all
I need is... Hi, I'm Christy Hayes and co-founder of Be Strong Story, a family mission and company founded because of a little lunchbox note my husband wrote my son that said,
"Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone."
That's right. We believe those three lines can change our world if we live them out. Each week, we'll be sharing an inspiring and real story of others who are displaying this message of love in big and small ways in their community. Because every way matters. We hope each story will inspire you to make this message your own. Let's go love the world, you guys.
Jeremy Biedenbaugh, we're back again. It's our second week together. How you doing?
I am doing awesome. And here in St. Louis, it's actually sunny and like 55 degrees. It's been like raining and 31 for the last like 2 weeks. So it's amazing.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You know, we went down for Christmas to St. Louis and I always am like, when am I going to get back to sunshine? Because that is not happening in St. Louis at all. It's sunny here though, because you know in Waco it's sunny and like 85.
It's like the tropical climate without any of the tropical benefit.
It's true. I do have a cactus and a palm tree in my backyard, so it's very confusing. It's very confusing here. Okay, so if you're just joining us,
Florida, what geographical oddity?
And no beach. There's no beach here. So, okay, if you're just now joining us, Jeremy and I are friends, so we will have a bunch of banter going back and forth. But we are doing a four-week series. We don't usually do this, but I almost think of it like a masterclass. I like to call us masterclass. Like, it's a masterclass is what I like to say.
You're going to call that I'm the master?
You are the master. We are the, what do you call it? The students. We're the students. So basically, I have my friend Jeremy on here. He owns a company called Recreate Solution, and he helps people get unstuck and healthy in all the things. And so what we're talking about this week is recovering from 2021. That's what we talked about last week, actually. And this week, we're talking about the replenish side. So our entire four-week series is called Recovery and Replenishing, and we wanted it to be a four-week series because we felt like there was so much to recover from 2020, and we probably need a whole year of podcasts on that. But we didn't want to, when I was talking to Jeremy, I was like, how can we make it where we don't just rush through 2020, where we learn from those things, where we really kind of dig into some of those emotions that we felt and not ignore them, because that's really important, which we talked a lot about in the first week. So if you haven't listened to the first week, I actually would probably go back. What do you say? Go back to the first week and listen to that, because these all kind of play on each other to help replenish us for 2021. Is there anything I missed on that like recovery / review, Master Jeremy?
No, that's awesome. And I think if you haven't listened, go back and listen to that one. If you did, I encourage you to stay in this one. Last week, you know, you could come away going like, well, it's kind of like, you know, wah, wah, Debbie Downer a little bit. A lot of deal with the hard stuff and sit in the emotion, which is absolutely necessary. And today I think we really get to go, okay, we have to do that. We don't just wallow there or stay there. Like, how do we actually start turning the corner and like you said, learning, taking the lessons. And I think it's dangerous if, you know, it's easy just to be like 2020, it was a dumpster fire. 2020 was, horrible. 2020 was all these things. Yeah. And I think that actually leads us down a wrong path, because we'll get into this later, but just, we have the opportunity to frame it. Yes, lots of hard, challenging, bad, difficult things happened in 2020, but also some good things. So like, if you go like, what happened with your family? What happened with your new skills you learned? Like, I learned how to do new things that I never thought I would learn how to do.
Give me one of those skills. What'd you learn? Tell me.
My wife can inform you. No. One of the things that I really learned was how to use the iMovie editor, because I did these interviews like this and had to actually go and edit them. And I used to have a whole team to do that. And it was like, oh, now I've got to figure out how to do it. And it took me like, you know, I'm not like some expert editor, but I can get by and, you know, do the things that are necessary. So that's one thing that I had to learn to do.
You can edit this for us after this. That'd be great. I agree with you on those. The thing that we learned just thinking back, it was a really hard year. And I talk about that in the last podcast. And it's so funny. Grant is, so my husband is Grant, if you don't know, and he does not, he's my introvert. He does not do these podcasts with me. He is very much, you do your thing, I do my thing. But sometimes he'll like listen in. And so he was in the house when Jeremy and I were doing the last podcast. So all he could hear was me. And he was like, afterwards, he goes, hey, babe. He was like, you want a little critique of your podcast? And I'm like, not really. I was like, but if you'd like to give me some, that'd be great. And he's like, he said the same thing. He's like, I kind of felt like it was like, I needed you to say like, okay, it's time to come out of that recovery and, you know, the hard part. And I was like, I know. I was like, that's this week. I was like, we're going to talk about that. I promise. We're not going to leave that out. I said, but it is so important to talk about the uncomfortable and the hard and the emotions and the things that come up that we just want to like, you know, jump over, which all of us do. And he's, you know, he's that personality too. That's like, ooh, that's not comfortable. I didn't want to feel like that. Let's move on, which is what we're doing this week. But one of the things that I learned, it was interesting. We did this thing for New Year's Eve where we put up all the pictures. Like I picked like 3 or 4 pictures of each month of our family. And it was so interesting because in my head, I was kind of like, oh, okay, we moved. That was really sad. And then my kids had to wear masks to school and that was kind of sad. And I miss my friends. That's kind of sad. But when I looked at these pictures, it was like the coolest things that we did. And we learned how to be creative. And we did like a virtual spring break to Paris and Walt Disney World. And my kid said, this is what Holden said. He goes, Mom, he goes, that virtual, we asked questions afterwards. Like, what was your favorite part of the year and those kind of things. And we're laughing. And he said, my favorite part of the year and like of everything we've ever done is our virtual spring break. And I was like, dude, I was like, we can save a whole lot of money for the rest of our lives if we do that virtual spring break. But things like that, I think we learned about creativity and all those different things.
Yeah. Please send me the plan for that so I can save money on my.
I will. I'll save you that plan. I for sure will. Okay, so today we're talking about one of the pieces of replenishing ourselves for the new year is resiliency. And I think that is a big thing that we've heard. What does that look like? A lot of people did that. So I'd love to know just your definition of resiliency.
Yeah, I think it's a really important question because this is one of the key things in all of life. It's not just that we're going to need resiliency when we're in a global pandemic. I mean, we need it for almost every aspect of our life, relationally, physically, spiritually, mentally, vocationally, all those things. And here's how I define it. And this is a combination, I would say, of my own thoughts and a couple other authors and things like that. But basically, resilience is your capacity to prepare for disruption, recover from shock and stress, and then adapt and grow from that disruptive experience. So, in other words, how quick can you bounce back through adversity? Mm. How fast can you marshal the forces of strategic recovery and build a new capacity? And the really good news is a lot of, and look, 5 years ago, even maybe 4 years ago, I looked at it like, well, some people are born with resiliency and some people aren't. And, you know, like you can move the needle, you know, a little bit, obviously get better. But I don't believe that anymore because I've seen it. This is actually a skill. You can develop it. You can grow at it. And it makes sense. I mean, like you said, we're doing recovery and replenish, right? Like that's what we need in every aspect of life. Like, you know, Christy, as you have been a trainer in athletic competitions and CrossFit and things like that, is recovery is key, right? So it's like, yeah, we'd love to just power on through, but, you know, really good healthy habit is like intense workouts followed by really good mm-hmm. recovery. And what we're talking about is like, how can you speed up that recovery? How can you bounce back faster? How can you take a hit and become fully functional again, in ways that are much more healthy, much more quick and don't, you know, involve, you know, you're dropping off kind of the abyss, but you actually take it in, recover and learn from it, build new skills and capacity out of it. So really it's like, how quick can you bounce back after taking a certain number of hits? Or, you know, as Mike Tyson would say, everybody's got a plan till you get punched in the face. And then you just need resiliency. Your plan kind of goes out the window.
Well, and I think to your point is recovery, a lot of people don't want to do that. Like even like I'm thinking of the gym, like when people would say to me, well, I'm going to work out 7 days a week. And I'm like, but why? Because your body needs the recovery, because you can't actually go as hard as you need to on the other times if your body is never recovered. And it never made sense. And it kind of sometimes doesn't make sense to us is like, well, we got to go, go, go. We got to push to the next thing. We got to get to our goals. And what we see is burnout. And then it takes us so much longer to recover when we don't make it a priority or almost like something we do monthly, weekly, that we set aside some time to recover. For me, that's a Sunday, you know, that is kind of like a Sabbath for me where I turn off all my social media. I try to put my phone away and I really just try to like sit on the couch and read or watch football, you know, something that's really mind numbing. And so I think the recovery piece is huge. One of the things that you talk about with your clients, which I love, and I kind of like think it's funny too, is you talk about how to self-talk, talk to yourself. And when I think of that, I think of like, you know, me pumping up myself in the mirror for something scary, like talking to myself, which can seem silly. But why is that such a big deal? Why is self-talk, explain it first of all, and then why is that something that's so important?
Yeah, a lot of people might not be old enough, but you and I probably remember, you know, SNL and Stuart Smalley.
Oh my
and,
gosh, like, he was the best part of SNL. Yes.
If you're not familiar, go back and watch the one with him and Michael Jordan. But you know, he was like a cheesy, you know,
like highly self-help, yeah,
constantly affirming himself, and he would always look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough and doggone it, people like me. And so a lot of times we have like, that's the impression. I mean, there's a place for affirmation from others and for yourself. But really what I'm talking about here is actually noticing that you are already talking to yourself all the time. Mm. The mind is a constant generator of words, thoughts, stories that you are constantly pumping. I always mess it up. I never get this done correctly. You know, people, girls don't like me, boys don't like me. I don't do well at public speaking. Like, you know, like these things are going on in your mind all the time. So the first step is just actually pulling back a little bit and going like, oh, what is actually going on up there? And what are the words and images that are constantly coming? And the problem is not that we have that constant, you know, thought, those constant words coming. The problem is that we get hooked by them. And so if you think about it, like one way I like to think about it is like, think about it instead of those thoughts are happening, think about it as observing them and almost watching them like their cars going by on the road outside. You can kind of watch them go by. And a lot of them will stop and open the door and be like, get in. Mm. And the easiest thing to do, of course, is to get in. You get hooked into that thought. You get fused with that thought or that story, and then that becomes your reality. You get in, you're on a road trip and you're going forever. When actually you can say, I don't want to get in the car. There you are. There's that story. There's that thought again, and you can let it go on by. Or if you do get in the car, you start to notice, I'm in that car again. I'm in that story again. Let me pause. Hey, can you stop the car? I'm getting out. You know, like can't actually unhook yourself or defuse yourself from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And how would you help someone know that they're getting to that place? What would be the red flag? Or like, I call it a trigger for me. So I think the older we get and the more we do the hard work of getting to know ourselves, we know what our triggers are, right? We know when we're feeling anxious about something. But do you have something practical that would help us know when we're talking to ourselves? Sometimes we don't even realize it, honestly. I think that's the thing, is like, we don't even know. That is what is ingrained so much in our head because we've said it so long that it's just who we are. How do you switch that if it's been negative self-talk for so long?
Yeah, that's a good question, because the truth is we don't actually perceive reality we perceive reality through our lens of interpretation, through our perception structures, through our glasses, right? It's like you heard people like they look at the world in rose-colored glasses or whatever. Like it's because like that's their view of the world. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would ask you what's one of those kind of recurring thought patterns that kind of starts occurs to you that you kind of get caught in sometimes.
I think for me, it's when I feel like I have to do something to be successful, like do something really well. And I know that it's starting to come up when I start to hold real tight to things. Like I can't let things go. I have to do this, or, you know, and I think there's a difference between like goals and intentions and those things. I know we need to go after those, but when those become part of your identity, I think that's when it gets a little, you know, distorted. And I think sometimes that's what happens to me is the doing becomes my identity. Oh, she did this. She's good at this. That becomes my worth instead of just who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should say this question comes up a lot. I think I said this last week, but you know, I know you have a diverse, wide-ranging audience, and my clients are everything from stay-at-home moms to entrepreneurs, business owners, Fortune 500 executives, et cetera, like all the way around. And guess what? Every single one of us and every single one of them struggles with what's going on up there. And a lot of us for a long time have just kind of, like you said, we don't even notice it. And so one thing is literally just developing a little bit of mindfulness and pulling back and getting perspective. The other cues are like when you have extreme language, like never, always, not enough, like the not enough thing, or, you know, it's very critical, judgmental. You feel anger, control. Like you said, like, I just want to hold on. I can't let go of those things. It's like you're in that car on that road trip, right? And it's like you got to do. Another one I tell people is like compulsivity or impulsivity, when it's like you've like, I gotta make that right because they're going to be disappointed if I don't do it or whatever. You're like, okay, you're down that road a little bit, and you pull back. So I say like, what's actually going on in your head right now? And then you can start to see, and here's what, you know, this quote I think is so powerful. This is from Jim Lehrer, who is, like he's worked with, like he's the guy that turned Dan Jansen around, world-class athletes, executive. The power broker in your life is the voice no one else ever hears. In other words, the voice in your head, and how well you revisit the tone and content of that private voice determines the quality of your life. It's the master storyteller, and the stories we tell ourselves are our reality. And that's where those thoughts are getting generated. And so a lot of times, one little technique, and maybe we were going to talk about this later, but is when I have the thought that like, I'm not good enough, or they're not going to like me if I do this, or I'm too fat, or I'm too ugly, or I'm not competent or capable, and whatever, like I always mess it up, whatever it is, right? That if you say that, you're locked in the thought. But if you actually just pause for a minute and go, wait, that's not reality. That's just a thought. That's just a word in my head, right? Yeah. And so if you go instead insert, I'm having the thought that, or I notice I'm having the thought that I'm never going to succeed in this career or whatever. And all of a sudden, like what you've done is separate, right? So that's the simplest technique right there. And I, you know, I cover this, all kinds of other things. You know, and we're going to talk the 21-day challenge that you can register for and a lot more detail. But all that to say is you just insert that little thing of I'm having the thought that, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm not in the car anymore. I'm noticing going by. I'm seeing that go by, but I'm not necessarily getting in the car. And then the question is like, is that a car I want to get in? Is that going to further, you know, who I am and what I'm actually trying to do in life?
It doesn't make it so finite. Like if I say I am a loser, that I'm like really attaching that label to myself instead of I'm having thoughts that I feel like a loser right now. And then I'm thinking, well, why do I feel that way? You know, and then it almost seems silly. You know what I mean? Like it almost seems like why would I say that about myself? So that even just the wording, I feel like helps, you know, a huge deal in that. One of the things that we've talked about is labels that we attach to things. And, you know, with even with just 2020 or things in our past, we don't get to choose many times what happens in our circumstances. I mean, sometimes they are a responsibility, but the things that we just can't choose. We didn't choose COVID. We didn't choose, you know, for some of us to lose our jobs. Like some of the things that just happened to us, we attach certain labels to those things. Explain what that means and why it's so important that we choose carefully the labels we attach to certain circumstances.
Yeah, this is really cool because, and frankly, I did not learn this until maybe 4 years ago. We confuse our observation with perception. It's kind of similar to what we were talking about before. It's like this thing just happened, and then this is what it means. So like what our mind is actually cued to do is like we're not actually perceiving like objective materialistic things, right? Like if your main goal in life, right, is like to get into med school, and like that's your dream, to be a doctor. And so like you've applied to med school. When that envelope comes, right, and it's addressed, if that's you, addressed to Christy Hayes from blah 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 medical school, you're not like, oh, a rectangle piece of paper. Like, you don't say that, right? Why don't you say that? Because that's not how you perceive it. You're not looking at it like, what are the physical qualities of it? Because you're going, what does this mean to me?
Right. Did I get in? Did I not? Is my future ruined? Did you know that I wanted to be a doctor, that I wanted to go to medical school?
Did you really?
I did. I think that piece of paper probably wouldn't have been the same for me. It would have been like, nope. Okay.
When did you disrupt that dream?
Oh, you know, college.
Grant?
Yeah. No, college. Yeah, college. But I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll go back to that. It's never too late.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's almost just like we just said in the beginning. It's like you could look at 2020 and you go like, well, it was a dumpster fire. It was horrible, whatever. And as soon as we talked about it for 2 minutes, you were like, oh my gosh, my kids had this experience. And then we were able to do this and we moved to this new place. That was the hardest move ever. But like, also like, you know, my husband's working this job that he loves and all these great things happen as well. And then you can even take the other things and reframe, but I'm still here. I survived. Or, you know, whatever. You can still frame it in a positive way. You get to choose all the things that happen to you, right? Like there's very little in our control. Nobody would have chosen a global pandemic. Nobody would choose to lose jobs or income or family members or friends. You do get to choose how you frame it and the label you attach to it. And so the question is, what does it mean to you? So this thing happened is the fact of what happened, right? But then this is bad. That's when you're applying your own label to it. Mm-hmm. And instead you can take even the really bad stuff and go, okay, how do I change the label on this? I had this with a client the other day, and he's an entrepreneur, the owner and CEO of a very fast-growing, really fun business, and they're just booming, and they're in healthcare and healthcare and rehab, and then Medicare just put through cuts at the end of the year, like 11% cuts in revenue to their providers, and you know, all the nuances. So, okay, that thing happened. Now, how do you label that? What does it mean to you and your company and your team? What does that really mean? And when we worked on it, he was like, you know, at first I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to kill all of our projections, our numbers, mm-hmm. disappoint investors. But he's like, but as soon as we reframed it and put a new label on it, it's like, what if this label is, this is the thing that unified our team? What if this is the thing that brought out creativity and innovation in our team that we had never anticipated before? And then in fact, with that mindset, that's actually what he went and created. And it was, he was like, this is one of the most fun things we ever did, because our whole team just like exploded on it. But it's because he refused to go, well, we're getting cuts, so this is bad, and we gotta, you know.
And do you think do you think that comes with practice? So I feel like there are some personalities who, you know, you hear about optimists and pessimists, and sometimes it just, that immediately is what the first thing someone thinks in their mind. Oh, I'm going to make, you know, lemonade out of lemons. And then there are some, because of our personality, that are more, you know, glass half empty versus glass half full. But would you say that, you know, whether you call it optimism or reframing the situation, do you think that is a, can it be learned? And can you just get better at practicing it?
Yeah, absolutely, because I did, and that's part of the recreation of me and my we get fixed in this fixed mindset that personality is permanent, and it's not. Our personality changes according to our goals and our view of the world and our view of our future self. What happens is trauma gets us stuck in the past, right? Trauma, like, and even mini trauma, it gets you locked into that and cuts you off from that future self you want to be. And this is great, a little plug for a guy I really like, but don't know, Ben Hardy. He has a book called Personality Isn't Permanent, and he's a psychologist and really sharp guy, but he kind of proves that. But the whole point there is, yeah, it is a skill you can develop, because, like, I used to really look at life like, well, yep, you know, here's another instance where, you know, I do this, and then always works out somehow that doesn't go for me. And then I realized that, like, you can look at life as life happens to me, or life happens for me. Mm. And if life happens for me, even my enemy can become my ally, because there's a lot you can learn from your enemy. There's a lot you can learn from tragic situations. And it doesn't mean you're Pollyanna. It doesn't mean you're like the person that walks out in the garden and there's weeds everywhere. You're like, no weeds here. Everything's like, you're not denying reality.
Right.
You're actually entering into reality and then choosing, okay, what does it mean that there are weeds in my garden? Does it mean that, you know, I'm an idiot and a failure and I don't know how to garden? Or does it mean, wow, there's an opportunity to get some work, to do some work, some opportunity to turn this around, some opportunity to learn, like, what didn't work in the past. And I love that quote from Mandela, and I tell our kids all the time, and myself, but back to, you know, Stuart Smalley's self-talk, is that he said, you know, he said, I never lose. I win or I learn. Mm, and one of the things I say to clients is, look, failure isn't final. It's just feedback.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you have a failure, how are you going to label it? Well, I guess it's over. Or I'm getting some important feedback about myself or my leadership or my business or whatever.
Can I be mad about the weeds for a bit though? I mean, like, if let's just take the gardening thing and we go out to the garden and there's weeds everywhere. Can I be mad about, I mean, that's kind of what we talked about last week, is kind of the recovery and understanding those emotions. Like, can I just be mad about those weeds for a second and then go, okay, now I'm mad. I'm mad at the weeds. I'm mad that it didn't work out. I'm mad that this didn't happen. I'm a little angry. But now let's do something about it. I mean, I just want to be mad sometimes for just a bit.
Yeah, you have to. Remember, like we said last week, like, you have to actually experience that. And here's the deal. Like, outside of, like, really traumatic stuff, most of the emotions we experience, this is neuroscientifically true, is, like, don't need to last any more than 2 minutes. In your body, they're occurring in your body, right? So, like, if you go, like, where's this happening in my body? Is my jaw tight? My heart racing? My stomach all clenched up? My back is, like, there's pain here. You know, like, if you just tune into your body for a minute, you kind of go, like, oh, it's kind of telling me something. It's telling me that I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm just sad, whatever it is. And then you can actually experience it and release it. What most of the time we do is ignore it, repress it, or either just rehearse it over and over and over again. And it's like, no, we can sit and go, I'm really mad about these weeds. I worked really hard and I'm really mad about these weeds. And then you can feel that and let it go, release it, and go, it's, you know, anger is always cueing us, right? What is anger telling us? Something needs to be changed, eradicated, adjusted, fixed, eliminated, whatever. And it's like, there's something here to do, right?
It's funny. We're watching Lost again. Do you remember that show Lost? I've never seen it.
I never watched it actually, but I've heard, you know, everything about it.
So Grant and I've never seen it. And we're like, oh, let's, you know, it was the middle of break and I was like, well, let's watch something new. Let's watch Lost. So one of the storylines is this doctor, if you haven't seen the show, they, you know, crash in a plane and they're stranded on an island. I think you could probably get that from just the trailer.
Lost.
And the Lost. But so the doctor is this, like, hero or whatever. And one of the girls said, why aren't you scared? Like, why aren't you fearful? And he said, I am. He said, but I learned when I was a doctor and, you know, messed up or failed or whatever. He said, I did this thing where I counted to five. I let myself feel whatever it was, super fearful. And in the moment as a doctor, if you're feeling fear, you can't sit in that for, if you're working on someone or, you know, in a surgery, you can't sit in that emotion forever or someone's going to die. And so he said, I just trained myself to like let that emotion and feel it, and I felt it for 5 seconds, and I'm not saying feel it only for 5 seconds, but just as an example. And he said, and I counted out loud, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, felt it completely, and then let it go and like figured out what to do. And I think that's just like a little example, but kind of what we're talking about today is like, you know, last week, feel those things, understand those things, but then what can we learn from those different things that we talked about?
Yeah, the thing happened, and here's the emotion I experienced about it.
Right.
Okay, but what am I? What meaning does it have now for me, for my family, my business? Is different than experiencing an emotion of fear, sadness, anger, whatever that is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think even like I talked last week very openly about just the anxiety that I've felt this season that I've never felt before. And I was talking to someone the other day and I said, I really hate that I feel like this. It really is a horrible feeling. I said, but there's a part of me that actually really is not happy that I feel that, but I'm grateful because I've never been able to be truly empathetic to those who've struggled with that because I've never felt it. And now I can. Now I have voice and, you know, just an empathy towards people and an extra love and compassion for those who struggle with anxiety or depression. It just, you know, I always had compassion for that before, our nephew struggled with that. But I never really was in it. And now since I am, so I've kind of reframed it. I'm kind of proud of myself. I'm going to Stuart Smalley myself and pat myself on the back. Like I've kind of reframed it where like that, this has been kind of a horrible season for me, but then at the same time, I'm like so grateful because I'm able to relate to some people that I've never been able to relate to before and build even stronger relationships with even family members that I've never been able to do. And so I don't know, there's like a little bit of a gift in that for me.
There's always a gift. And that's the thing is like what we focus on will always expand, and we're really good at focusing on threats and problems, and then all of a sudden that's expanded and that's filling our whole vision. And this is like, yes, but take a step back and go, okay, but it was transformative. It's just, it's kind of like that is, I was experiencing something similar and it was kind of like, I don't know what to do. It's uncontrollable, whatever. And he was like, how is this thing a gift in your life? And I was like, I will choke you.
I was going to say, do you want him to punch him in the face? So annoying. You're like, what?
Yeah. But all of a sudden, like, right. It changed the question. And it wasn't like, yeah, just sit and feel sorry for yourself or be mad about this. It was like, stop and ask yourself, like, how's this also a gift? Mm-hmm. And then I realized like there are many ways it was a gift. And like you said, it created something in me in different ways. And those are little reframing, reshaping, questioning the narrative kind of statements that all of a sudden, you know, shake you out. And that, the issue is always, and we could do this with everyone, is literally curiosity is the key. Mm-hmm. When you're defensive, when you're angry, when you need to be right, when you want to be wallow in self-pity, you're always sort of like below the line and hooked in some story, right? But when you're curious, it's like, I'm having anxiety. I wonder what all that's about. Mm-hmm. You know, like my husband forgot my birthday. I wonder what's going on with him. Mm-hmm. My sales team didn't hit their numbers this week. I wonder what is happening versus like they're idiots, they suck, I can't believe that I would do that, you know. Yeah. It's like we get locked in that story.
That's good.
And
I like that.
And you go like, what if you separate yourself from the story and just able to say what's really going on and what could be happening here, you know?
Hey everyone, I love telling you about companies that knock it out of the park with doing good and giving back. And here is one that I just found out about. If you love fashion, you're gonna wanna listen to this one. So it's called reruns.com. Their tagline is secondhand, people first. And here's what they do. Basically, you can buy and sell quality pre-loved clothes and earn the same amount of money you'd earn on other sites. They make it super simple and easy to shop for high quality finds from top kid and adult brands. Basically, you list the items you want to sell and you earn money just like that. But then here's the catch. They thought, in addition to giving things we've loved new life, what if the simple act of buying and selling could help people in need? So at Reruns, they give all of their profits to deserving charities across the country and around the world. It's this simple idea with beautiful possibilities. Re love, do good. Check them out at reruns.com. Yeah, I love that. One of the things that is that you talk about is story versus fact. And I think this is so huge as we talk about 2020, but as we talk about just life in general, of separating the story versus a fact, meaning something happens and you immediately assume something else. So just a silly example, like maybe I was at Starbucks and a person didn't look at me or didn't say something to me. And immediately I think, oh no, what did I do? Did I not respond to an email? Did I forget to do this for them? Why did they ignore me? When really probably Karen ignored me because she was on her phone or, you know, was having a bad day or she didn't even see me. And so a lot of times the fact is she just didn't see me. The story I told myself was Karen's mad at me because I must have done something like that. And I think that I hear that, especially, and I don't think it's just women, but like, I think a lot of times we assume things and they're not even true. They have, there's nothing that is truth to that. So help us as we kind of wrap up, figure out how to separate those things in our lives, because I think it could help us tremendously in relationships, family, business, if we could just figure that piece out.
You're absolutely right. I mean, this is one of the most powerful things that's occurred in my life, one of the most powerful things in my clients' lives. It's part of the 21-day challenge. I'm going to give your audience the resource that like where they can actually like work through the worksheet on this. But it simply kind of goes like this. Like, let's just do it. Give me something that you say this is a significant negative thing that happened in my life or business in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, something that's sitting with you. You just say like, this thing happened, or I didn't get this that I wanted, anything. It doesn't matter, big or small.
You're asking me?
Yeah.
You're putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
We no longer do our, so for our company, we used to be an apparel, like apparel based completely. But because of COVID, we had to shut down the apparel and we lost the homeless shelter that we loved so much that, you know, was supplying jobs to do that. So when we moved to Waco, we lost homeless shelter, but also COVID shut down that. So that revenue and also just that piece of our business is no longer.
And when you think about that, or when you did think about that, what's a story you tell yourself about yourself?
That I can never finish something, that I won't, like I couldn't stick it out, or I didn't make it. It was becoming successful, but then it's no longer. So it's just, I couldn't do it. I couldn't finish it.
And you can hear right there, right? Never. Like never, I can never,
right, never
do it.
Yep.
So there's several stories in there, but one is like, I never finish things, see them all the way through, or I'll never replace that revenue or never get that back. Right. Now all of a sudden the fact is what would be observed. This piece of your business isn't currently engaged or in operation, right? Because of things that happen. Totally different. Your perception, your story, the meaning you're applying to it is I don't finish things. Now I'll ask you that. Now, is that story that you never finish things and that you will never replace that revenue, is that story true?
No, now it's not. I mean, it's been almost a year since that's happened. And no, it was a little bit of something that probably needed to happen anyway, because my heart wasn't in the manufacturing piece like right. It is in the teaching and the podcasting and the things that I'm actually really good at. I miss the community of the homeless shelter. I mean, we were going to move anyway, but I still can be friends with them. I still can love on them even from afar. But the in and out of the daily manufacturing issues and the things that like stressed me the most, I don't do anymore, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. And see, you've already actually processed through some of that. So a lot of times I'm dealing with clients, right? It's very raw. And so they're going, their first answer is, well, of course it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There was other things I didn't finish too. And like, it's like, okay, but is it inarguably true? Is it 100% true, scientifically true? And they're like, well, no. And then all you do is flip it and go, could it be true that Christy is really good at finishing a lot of things she starts? Could that be true? Could it be?
Yeah. Are you asking me? Yeah, it is.
Could it be true that other opportunities will come along that will be better, more in your wheelhouse to replace the passion and the revenue?
Yep.
And you're all of a sudden you're like, so all of a sudden you're just a little bit more free, right? And you're going like, wait a minute, that's just a story I'm making up. Mm-hmm. And you know, you do this all the time with people. My boss doesn't like me. The sales team's terrible, whatever. And it's like, well, the fact is they missed their goals. The fact is, he spoke in a loud voice to you. Okay. The story, you made that up. And then you get to question, as soon as you question and go, well, is that really true? Well, I can't prove it's true. And if I flip it around and play with it a little bit and get a little more playful and curious, right, then it starts to change. And I had this with a client just recently, and she is going through a horrible business divorce with her business partner. The partner is just completely immoral, unethical, doing all kinds of crazy things, you know, and she's like, this is devastating. This is killing me. This is going to ruin me, like all these things. And we just said, what's the story? She's like, that I failed. I'm ruined. I said, okay, flip it around. And we ended up getting to like, actually, I'm free. I'm free of this man who is unethical and immoral, and a partnership that would only grow and further cement me into his. And like, now I'm actually free. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, you feel 1,000,000% better. And a lot of times, like in that case, I asked her, I said, like, she's like, but you don't understand, this is, and I said, I agree, but do you want to be right or do you want to be free?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she was like, I want both.
And I think that it seems to me, if I think back of all the times in my life where I have thought it was like a travesty or a ruin of something, and actually when I finally did the hard decision to let go of something or to let someone go or whatever, after that like hard conversation or that hard piece of time, I am always better on the other side. And when I hear you say all this, I think of like just giving, number one, ourselves the benefit of the doubt, and then other people. Like my mom always says, and I love that she does this, but she's helped me look at people differently. So if someone like ignores or talks rude or all these different things, instead of her going, that person is rude or that person is dead, she always says, what do you think is going on in their life to make them feel like this? And I always tell my kids, like, if they even like at school, if someone's mean or whatever, I'm like, what they did was wrong, but what do you think is going on in their life to make them like that? What do you think? How do you think they're feeling today? And then we always have these conversations of, well, they got made fun of at lunch, or, you know, this happened. They came in late today and they were crying. You know, something has happened. People aren't just mean and horrible because they're mean and horrible. There's something that's happened, and it gives us also a bit of compassion. Like when we really start thinking about it, when I really start talking to my kids about it, you see their hearts change. You'll see Carter May like almost tear up sometimes, like, oh, well, maybe someone didn't say they loved him today, or, you know, those kind of things that like almost tears her up. And before, like 10 minutes ago, she was really mad at this person. And so it's just kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt, but also giving ourselves the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, see, your mom's curious. And that's you cannot be angry and anxious and stressed and curious simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You can't have those things. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I know about a guy who he's a person of color, and he all the time talks people out of being in the Klan, in the Ku Klux Klan. Not because he has better arguments, right? I mean, because we think like all the arguments, I mean, like we've got the arguments.
Yeah.
It's because he gets curious with them. And that, I mean, you think like that's really hard, like, you want to get curious with a Klan's member? Like,
yeah.
And he goes like, huh, what makes you tick? And like, what this is, he's like, well, he's like, I'm an international guy, so I'm used to like, I consider it like, this is a different culture that I'm investigating. And like, what, and all of a sudden, like, he gets really curious with them. And then they, through that, they go like, this is really wrong. You know, mm-hmm. and it undoes it. And like you said, like, it ignites your compassion, all those kinds of things. And so curiosity really is the key. And to be curious with, yourself. And that resiliency is about being able to do that faster and quicker, mm-hmm. not getting hooked for as long, not getting pulled down those rabbit trails and stories for as long. And one of the most helpful things you can say is just like, I notice I'm having a thought is like, I'm telling myself the story that, or like, even with your family, your teammates, whatever, like, when you're late to my meeting today, the story I was telling myself is like, you don't really respect my leadership. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't late to your meeting, by the way. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Yeah. listeners, it wasn't me. I wasn't late.
Not you. I tell it to my wife. It's like, you know,
right. Yes.
The story I'm telling myself is this, because what I used to do is just get locked into it. And I'd be like, well, she obviously thinks this. She doesn't want to do that. And
yeah.
None of that ended up being true, like you said. Anyway, so that's kind of the thing. And of course, that's part of the 21 day challenge. I'm happy if anybody just wants to give me a call just to have a 20-minute conversation, walk somebody through something. That resource, I think you're going to put in the show notes as well. So that's all there.
Yeah. So the 21 day challenge I did with him last year, which is such a great kickstart of all these things. So we kind of overview a lot of these things. And maybe when you hear the story versus fact or the label attachment, you're like, ooh, I want to hear more on that. This 21 day challenge helps you dig in deeper with that. So I think that's what's so beautiful. And Jeremy is making that available to us. I'll put all that in the show notes. But I think the question for, and you can kind of add here, is just, I'd love for people to kind of take away today, what is the story that they've been telling themselves about 2020? And then also as they think about, you know, 2021, and just to really maybe journal that, think about those things. And again, in the show notes, specifically for these 4 weeks, we will have questions for you to go over, as well as different resources to dig into this a little bit more, because I think this is something like just the story versus fact and the label. I think it's something I have to practice. It doesn't just come to me. And so I want to be like, I actually want to write it down somewhere where I always see it, so that I can constantly, because my first reaction is not that. It's the other thing, you know, it's the wrong story. And so I think that's something that we all need to practice. Anything else you'd add to that?
No, that's it. The resources are there. It's like, really get more sleep, go and play. That ignites recovery. And a couple of those exercises, just journal down 3 or 4 significant things that happened, and then say, like, what is it? What did that mean to me? What's the story I'm telling myself? And then am I willing to shift and go, is it really true? Is it arguably true? Is the opposite of it true? And all of a sudden you start to experience a little bit of freedom. But you can really do that in a journal. You can do that in the worksheet that we're going to give you.
Okay, so join us. If you haven't listened to last week about recovery, listen to that. And then join us next week, where we're going to be talking about what? What are we talking about next week? Responsibility.
That sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. Make it fun.
Yeah, we're talking about, how do you gain the power to change anything in your life, really?
Perfect. So come back with us next week with your notes, and we'll be talking about that. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Everyone, thanks for joining us for part 2 of our Recover and Replenish series. Hey, stay tuned for next week as we talk more about how to stay healthy and whole and replenish for 2021. And if you want to dig in deeper with some of these topics that we go over, make sure that you go to our show notes. If you are on iTunes, or you can go to our website, bestrongstory.com, and click on podcast. And you can go to our show notes and see some resources and questions so that you can dig in deeper and process this a little more. Also, Jeremy, our guest, has this incredible challenge going on in February. It's called the 21-Day Challenge. All you have to do is go to recreate-solutions.com. That'll also be in our show notes, where every day we go over these more and a little more in depth, so you can really get all your bang for your buck. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope it inspired you and gave you ideas of how to live out love exactly where you are. We would be so honored if you subscribed to our podcast, or you left a review, shared it with a friend, because we want as many people as we can to hear this message of what it means to love others. And don't forget to check out our website to grab our new children's book, The Lunchbox Note, A Story of Loving Others. Or if you want to dig a little deeper of ways to strengthen your family, so you can love your community well, check out our family coaching tab at BeStrongStory.com. You can find us over at BeStrongStory, all one word, on all our socials, so we can get to know you more. Above all else, thanks for helping us make this world a more loving place. We believe with our whole hearts that every single person, you listening, is worthy of love, and every person can share that love and make a difference in this world. See you next week, you guys.